This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
And what you need, baby, you got it. All I'm asking for the music when I come to call.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. A little education for a lot of you out there. We'll get to that in a second. It is Sam and Greg on the Sunday morning, July 7th. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning to all y'all out there around the corner from here in Powder Springs. So there you go.
All right.
And threw that on there, Noel, just a little bit more. If you have not heard the original, the song that made Aretha Franklin...
her signature.
It's her song, but this is the original, Otis Redding. Crank that up a little bit and see if we can hear him say R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Hey, new girl.
Nah, he's still... I was trying to get to that part. Anyway.
And if we watch Wimbledon,
yes.
This was a popular song from Billie Jean King and some of the players of that era. Who were stomping for some better pay and better conditions for the women on the tour, and that's why they were so they were big fans of Aretha Franklin, and that's when the one time I got a chance to meet Aretha Franklin was at the U.S. Open, because
they adopted her song.
They loved her song back in the day. They said, you know, we need some respect out here. We out here sweating and playing and whatnot, and that's. But I think I don't know if that's before or after.
I was going to say
but after Virginia Slims.
That's what I was just going to say. It took a cigarette company to step up to be
their sponsor, mm-hmm. And the women on the pro tour got paid, but they really embraced and took on Aretha Franklin's version of that song.
When you think about
think about the money they're getting paid out there now,
exactly.
Because I think men and women at Wimbledon get the same check.
When did those stop though? Those advertisements with those two, because you got that, and then you had Winston with NASCAR.
With NASCAR, that went into the 90s, early 2000s when Winston mm-hmm. was out. And that's the other thing that allowed NASCAR, we'll get into this later on, what allowed NASCAR to be more what we see with NASCAR today, because it was regional, because tobacco came from North Carolina, right? And so that was the money that was flowing through it and supporting it. So it made it this regional thing, and, you know, Winston went away and the tobacco company went away as far as the main sponsor mm-hmm. of it, and it became more of a national and regional.
Man, you know, some
event.
People lost their jobs when NASCAR made that decision, especially in North Carolina.
In North Carolina, yeah. Well, you know what? A lot of them worked with whoever the new sponsor that came on for it, you know, so they went through several different ones. But, you know.
Yeah.
With the tobacco is still big business up in North Carolina. Well, I don't know if it's big business, but it always has been. North Carolina's been tobacco and textiles.
Right.
Yeah.
And a related story. And those will remember, today was the day, speaking of NASCAR, that Junior returned after the passing of his father. This was 2001.
Mm-hmm.
He made his first appearance on this day and went out and won the Pepsi 400.
Okay. Okay.
But happened on this day, but yeah. It was his first time coming back to track after losing Pops.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Happened on this day. Other thing that happened, we were talking tennis a little while ago, and this is crazy that you and I were mentioning this earlier, but Martina, who yesterday was the anniversary of her getting her 20th Wimbledon title, that includes doubles and mixed doubles and all of that, but today is the day she got her 9th singles title.
Yeah.
And who did she beat? Zena Garrison.
Okay.
Who we were talking about before the show.
Okay, I think it may have been the last one that
and
she
it
won.
It was her last singles title, 1990.
Yep.
And she beat Zena.
And you were mentioning Zena. And while Zena went through to get to that, I think she had to beat two of the top three players in the world to get to Martina.
Well, 90, who was doing it? You had Martina Hingis? Was she still there? Was it Monica Seles?
I think she beat Monica Seles to get there.
Wow.
I got to go back and look at who she beat, but yeah, Zena had a difficult route to get there, and didn't have an apparel deal.
No, she didn't. Steffi must have been off the grid. 90. That was 2 years after she won the Golden Slam, so she was probably still playing.
I think she may have beaten Steffi.
What?
I think that may have been how she got.
That would be a story.
How she got to Martina. She was just in a zone. Zena Garrison was just in a crazy zone that year, and made it all the way to the finals. And I think it was either, I don't know if it was Nike or Reebok or whoever that came to her the night before she played the final and said, "Hey, you want to wear our stuff?"
Mm-hmm.
And you think about that, and you think about the deal that Venus Williams got from Reebok just for turning pro as a teenager.
And it's stuff, and it's what she went through. It's what Arthur Ashe went through.
Yeah.
It's what Lori McNeil?
Those from that era.
Well, the ladies from that era.
And we're talking about even before them, Althea Gibson, that we talked about yesterday.
But the apparel stuff, that was like post-Arthur Ashe. That was post-70s, going into the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
That was sort of thing that was prevalent. But it was in the beginning stages.
Yeah.
And I can't remember too many people. Like, you hear the story.
And the thing about her is she wasn't an unknown quantity. Now, Zena Garrison was a consistent top 10 player.
But
this was when the U.S. was still kind of dominating the game internationally. You look at the men, you go back to that period, look at the men's ranking, and look at the top 10, six of them probably be American.
Right.
And now there are no Americans in the top 10.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The closest thing we're going to get is our homeboy, Ben Shelton, who we're going to see today. We'll talk a little bit about him.
Yeah, we'll talk to that with Karen, because she's coming up in a little bit here.
Yep.
And but anyway, floor is yours, Mr. Crenshaw.
Is it?
Yeah, man, 7 o'clock. A little after now. You know what to do then. I go get a cup of coffee and you talk about local stuff.
Okay. We'll talk a little bit about some things
Shout out. We got to do this. The South Fulton flag football team, the football team, the kids out in South Fulton, they're going to the Hall of Fame.
To the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. So we just saw that news story.
Shout out. Well, they're doing something. They're doing a fundraiser to go up there too. So they needed some funds. People want to help them out to make that trip. As we talk about, it's just the tip of the iceberg with that sport, talking about flag football. It is just the tip of the iceberg and where it's going to go and the growth that we're going to see with it. Let's see. Speaking of football, it's the other side of the 4th of July and the media days are going to start. Talking about the college media days. They will actually start this week. The Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference will have its media day this week, I think on the 10th, and that is the SIAC. That is the conference that includes Morehouse and Clark Atlanta. And they will both be introducing new head football coaches. Morehouse will, for the first time, have Terrence Mathis there as the head football coach. You ain't got Bob Whitfield on the coaching staff. Why are you laughing when I say Bob Whitfield?
Because every time I think of Bob Whitfield now, I think of what we talked about last week, and he was out at the event, and I don't know what Bob is doing now, maybe enjoying post-NFL career.
Yeah.
But if I
he's almost like a half a Bob. He lost all that playing as a player. And I know he was officiating for a while. He was like my high school referee on Friday night. And what kid going to talk back to him?
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's the words I was laughing.
Let me hear you say that again on this field. And, what's a kid going to say to Paul Whitfield?
If I become stupid, stupid rich, if I become, name the person, Jeff Bezos rich, he is going to be my Luka Brasic.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. He'll be on retainer. Yep. Well, I don't need a, I mean, I'm not walking out of the door and having to worry about gangsters, but I'm just saying, those times where I'm going to feel a certain kind of way.
You don't want this guy to be with you. This guy with you.
I'm going to keep my retainer. He's going to live a nice life. But when I need him, I'm going to need him.
Yep.
Like when I go home to Chicago, I got a whole bunch of stuff yesterday about that whole Lawndale thing.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that, actually.
So that's happening. He's a new head coach at Morehouse. Teddy Keaton is the new head coach at Clark Atlanta. He's come from Allen University. And I think we got a few guys from Allen who've managed to hit the transfer portal and end up over here at Clark. Clark might have a surprise for folks this season.
Uh-oh.
Y'all might want to keep an eye on the Panthers. Because they may sneak up and surprise some people this season in the conference. So we're going to talk about that. MEAC SWAC Challenge is coming up. And our good friend John Grant, I'm sure, will appreciate us mentioning the event that's coming up that's going to be played here in town. And it's going to have Norfolk State taking on, let's see, we got with Norfolk State taking on Florida A&M. And people are talking about August 24th. I think he's got the tickets on sale for that one. We'll talk more about that coming up. Florida A&M was in town, obviously played the Celebration Bowl. Norfolk State, we gotta get with their program. They were 3-8 last year. We'll see if they do some improvement. I think it's the first time. I don't know. I'm sure it's not the first time Norfolk State has been in Atlanta for a game. I can't remember the last time they were here and who they played, but they're going to kick off the season here in town. Whole lot of green. As you know, Florida A&M is green and orange, and Norfolk State is green and gold. So that's coming up, going to be played over Georgia State. Also, HBCU note, they're getting ready to do some restoration or do what they got to do, a renovation of the stadium in Charlotte is what they're doing. They're going to approve an $800 million renovation for the Carolina Panthers to do that. They're going to add an HBCU classic game to be played there every year. So you're looking at something in the 2028-2029. North Carolina Central will come there. Not sure who their opponent will be, but they're already sizing up that event. You know, that may also happen down in Jacksonville. They're getting ready to redo and upgrade that stadium another time down there for the Jaguars. And you may see a game, you know, show up there as well.
Have we talked about whether or not there's going to be any effect to the HBCUs or how they're going to navigate the minefield of the moving conferences and what's going on with the big boys and now the expanded playoffs. Has there been really it's too early to know, but just moving forward.
Yeah.
Have you heard how they are going to, again, get some, you know, play some of these games against some of these teams and get them big checks? Whatever it is, has there been that should be discussed as we approach this upcoming season that they're going to be doing or trying to do differently, the changing landscape of college sports?
Well, they have to change right along with it. And, you know, Dr. Charles McClellan was here with us a few weeks ago when the baseball tournament was in town. And they're due to do some things and pick up some games against some big-time opponents, but also the fact that they're going to be able to strengthen their program some with the transfer portal, because some players go up, other ones come down looking for an opportunity to play. And it's a place to land and a place to and the deal of it is their scheduling and who they're able to get on the schedule, so that player says, well, I want to come here because I know I'm going to get a chance to be seen playing against this particular team and the kind of environment they go to. So I think that's the big thing that HBCUs are going to do. The SWAC is a conference that is held together, and nobody is left. And I think that's one of the strongest things. I kind of compare them to the Sun Belt, which is the conference, you know, with Georgia State and Georgia Southern, Appalachian State. Nobody's leaving, and it means a lot the way those conferences are put together. The opponents, the quality of schedule they're able to put together, and the kind of opponents they're able to attract, and also the kind of student athletes that it allows them to attract. The MEAC, to me, they could stand another one or two football playing members. I don't know where they're gonna find them. But we heard about some teams out of the CIAA possibility coming in with them. That has not happened yet. So that's the other part as far as that conference goes. And then there's Tennessee State, Eddie George and his crew up in Nashville and things that they do. Of course, last year was a big year for them. They played the game against Notre Dame. So, you know, you have those opportunities that are there for the HBCU teams and the programs. And, you know, one like here in Charlotte, North Carolina Central, to be able to play in Charlotte, which years ago they did play a lot over in Charlotte. Johnson C. Smith is in Charlotte. They play in the CIAA, but they played North Carolina A&T over there for a time. And maybe there'll be a way of getting that game back on the schedule, since North Carolina A&T is with Hampton in the Colonial. not playing in the conference with the rest of the HBCUs, that would surely be a way of getting that game back on the schedule, which would produce a big crowd, and we have a lot of excitement and competition for that one. So we watch and see what happens with that. Got some folks going to the Olympics. We had some time. We enjoyed talking with Daniel Howe yesterday.
Yeah, it was nice.
The hammer thrower, for those of you who don't get a chance to watch people throw the hammer, and I'm not talking about that hammer you get at Home Depot. We're talking about that thing you turn, spin around, and you hope you turn it loose and it goes in the right direction,
take
right?
Ms. Johnson's back window.
No, we hope we don't do that. We don't do that, you know. But congrats to him for doing that. Also, Life University has two alums that are going, and I'm gonna give you the names here. Yep, one is C.J. Allen, and he's going in the 400 meter. And one is Alexandria Spiff Cedric. Spiff Cedric is on the women's rugby. And so, yeah. So, okay. Life got two representatives on their way to Paris playing for the USA in the Olympics. So, congrats to them.
You know who we lost today?
Who was it?
Bumpy Johnson.
Really?
Yeah. The two movies that I just love watching. Hoodlum. Bumpy Johnson was played by Lawrence Fishburne. And American Gangster, Denzel.
Yeah.
And it was Clarence Williams III played Bumpy Johnson. And Clarence Williams III, of course, the original Link.
Yeah, Mod Squad.
Yeah.
Right.
But lost Bumpy Johnson. I don't know, you know, he died in like 68. But if you don't know the story of Bumpy Johnson, and you think you know everything about American crime, and you got the Al Capone stories, and you got the Meyer Lansky, you need to go learn about Bumpy Johnson.
Yep.
And what he did. Having said that, coming up next, I wonder if Karen, I bet you Karen knows about Bumpy. She's up there in New York. They teach that in the schools growing up.
No, they don't.
I learned about Al Capone in Chicago schools. I bet you they learned about Bumpy Johnson growing up in New York. That's going to be my first question as we sit here. Is it still raining out there?
And now I think it looks like they're going to get ready to play some tennis over at Wimbledon.
All right, we got some Wimbledon conversation coming up. Noelle's going to let us know what's going on in her mind before the end of the hour. It is Sam and Greg. It's a Sunday morning, 7th day of July. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard, you gotta be tough.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam Greg on this Sunday morning. That familiar music means we are ready to talk to Karen Pistain of Tennis Panorama, who is joining us ready to talk Wimbledon and hopefully this rain. let's back up a little bit here, because when we finished talking to Karen last week, and by the way, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we hope we didn't wake up, you know, your other half when we called, because we called the house line. And I made sure Noel was on the phone, so if he picked up, he heard a woman's voice. But I want we left last week's conversation talking about or speculating on who we believed would not be here when we talked to you last. I think you and I were both right. You said Andy Murray. I said Naomi Osaka. We're not happy about that, but when you look at this tournament so far and these guys being out and the way the play has been going, what's your assessment so far?
Well, first off, with all this, it's a good thing that Wimbledon has a couple of roofs, because all this rain this week has really kind of messed up the schedule, although it looks like they're all caught up by now. But all of these five-set matches, they have equaled the record for most five-set matches at Wimbledon or at a major since the Open era began. I think it's up to 33. Long five-set matches. So, I mean, that's fun for the fans, but, you know, for the players, a lot of these matches have been carried over or have messed with the schedule because of the rain. But it's fun. Fans love five-set matches. Yeah, I mean, it's such drama when you get to the fifth set.
You say that, though. Ironically, you do that in a year when John Isner goes to work for ESPN, right? Right.
But at least they have that tiebreak. All the majors have all that tiebreak in the last set. You know, the 10-point tiebreak, get to 10 by 2-point advantage if you get to 6-all in the fifth set or the third set, you know, pertaining to women. God forbid that we go back to what we had before in that 70-68.
Wow. Right, folks. Spending time on the waitforit.com outline this morning, talking Wimbledon with Karen Pistata. She is social. You can always find everything she has for you. Great information all the time at Tennis News TPN. At Tennis News TPN. Very proud of our home folk here in Atlanta. And we're going to see them on display again today. Ben Shelton yesterday playing with his father there. And I had a chance to know his dad really well when he was coaching Georgia Tech here as a young man. What American tennis has been wanting to see a male athlete. This is a guy that could have played any sport he wanted to. Matter of fact, he played football growing up. I don't know how many guys on the Pro Tour can say they played American football.
Not many.
Right, but he did, and he chose tennis. Talk about the importance of that, Karen. And here he is on the big stage. He's got a tough test today, but talk about having someone who comes from that kind of background.
Yeah, and the thing is, growing up, from what I know, his father, Bryant, who was a player, didn't necessarily talk about tennis every single day and talk about his exploits or whatever. He let his son choose what he wanted to do, and he sought out tennis. I really do think that having players like Shelton and Tommy Paul and the like will expose men and women in the U.S. to wanting to play the sport. I mean, it's sad to say, even though we had Serena and Venus doing so much, it seems that when there's like what we call an alpha male in the U.S. playing tennis and at the top of the game is when people seem to pay it more attention. That's a sad thing to say, but sadly, that's what seems to happen. But I think, and, you know, Ben enjoys being out there. You can see that. I mean, he's played every day this week because of the rain delays and extensions of five-set matches. So, you know, I hope he can. He knows what he's up against, being against the number one player. So this will be a real big test.
Karen Pistana joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, we're going to give you the opportunity to put a bow on Andy Murray's career.
Well, okay, the bow. Well, for one thing, he's the only man to win two gold medals in the Olympic Games in singles, back-to-back. It's just that for him, he won three majors, but he was in the finals of so many others. It's just the thing is, if he had been playing in a different era, he would have had more majors. He played, I mean, he essentially the number four of the big four. I mean, Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, talk about an inopportune time to be playing so well when you've got three of the greatest players ever playing at the same time.
He's Jose
Carreras. He was hit with injuries. He did, toward the end, hit with injuries, and that's a shame. Yeah. But he finally won. Wimbledon for Great Britain in 2012, and that had been the first time since in 77 years that a British man had won the Wimbledon. So the Brits are happy about that.
I was just gonna say he ain't got to pay for another meal.
No,
he ain't gonna worry about nothing in that thing. I was saying that this guy, he's like the you use that he's the fourth of the top four. He's like the third. He's like the third tenor. You know, Jose Carreras, the guy everybody forgets about. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, listen, I'm not happy about my pick as far as Naomi not being there, but where is she at right now with her career and her comeback?
Well, you know, I mean, she's just start, and let me make this clear, grass is not her favorite surface. The quote-unquote natural surfaces, grass and clay, are not her favorites. So she's getting back on the hard court. She got the U.S. Open Series and, of course, the U.S. Open. I'm sure that she will do better on hard court. But, you know, she had a baby a year ago. She's just back on the tour this year. You know, give it time. But you can still see the glimpses of brilliance in her play, even though she's not all there yet. Yeah. And, I would say, look at the hard court season and see how well she does.
Coming up today, we got Coco Gauff, and the number one seed on the women's side is out.
Yep.
Not saying it's hers to lose. She's still got because she's got a tough opponent. Anna Navarro has been one of the hot players on the tour this year. But talk about Coco Gauff and what is out there for her this next week.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, this tournament really is hers to lose. I mean, the thing is, too, everyone thinks that Iga was, you know, the number one. Oh, she's the number one seed, yes, but grass is not her surface necessarily, as evidenced by yesterday with a lot of errors and whatnot. But against Emma Navarro, yes, Emma Navarro is doing really well this year, jumping up to 19 in the world. Coco beat her in Auckland earlier in the year in straight sets. It'll be competitive. It's not going to be some kind of blowout either way. But I do think that Coco's going to get through this one. But as I said, Coco has to keep a level head and play right and do the things she's supposed to do to make her way to the Wimbledon final. She definitely, it's hers to lose at this point.
You know, Sam, I can tell you, I heard from Karen this week.
Did you?
Like during the week, I heard from her.
Okay.
She saw the trailer. She saw the Red One trailer. And she sent me something, wow. That was enough for me. I got a wow from Karen. But anyway, I'm telling everybody, go watch the Red One trailer. That's the Rock's new movie that yours truly happens to be in, unless I get cut out of it. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Karen, I want to bring you in on a conversation. We'll get back to Wimbledon, but I really want to get your thoughts before we leave here. Yesterday, in my mini openings during the show where I talk about insignificant information, things that happened on that particular day, we noted that yesterday was the anniversary of Martina winning her 20th Wimbledon title. That singles and doubles, mixed doubles, all of that thrown into a blender. She got 20 yesterday. But today is the anniversary of her ninth and finals singles title.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the story. The story was who she was playing, because we were just, before the show, we were just talking about players and kind of going back, and we were talking about that time between Arthur Ashe, talking about players of color, between Arthur Ashe and when Serena, you know, she's got the documentary that's coming out, and the name that just stays with me, and I wonder why there hasn't been a 30 for 30 or somebody doing a deep dive into her career, it was Zena Garrison.
Yes.
And it was Martina who beat Zena for her last Wimbledon singles, and Sam and I, while we were talking about this, we were trying to figure who the people were that Zena went through, because there were some top players, and speculated, was Steffi one of them that she went through to get to that finals?
I think she was. I'm looking at it.
Yep, she went through.
I'd have to go research the draw from that.
I'm looking at it right here, Karen. To get there, she went through Monica Seles and Steffi Graf to get to the finals. And
wow,
whoever, and who was it?
Both. Wow.
She had to beat both of them to get to Martina, and they had to go, and I forget who it was, Reebok or whoever, that took her some clothing to wear the night before the championship because she didn't have a clothing deal.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable. But what, you know, your thoughts on her, though, when you think about that and the fact that, you know, Venus Williams decides to turn pro and gets this ridiculous deal from Reebok. You know, just timing, just the way times change.
That's it.
Timing and marketing in a way, because even though, I mean, I think about way back when with Venus being so young and coming onto the tour, I mean, that's one thing. They really kind of, in a way, marketed themselves, especially their father being as outrageous as he could be sometimes. And it brought attention to them. And, I mean, Zena didn't have that kind of backing, so to speak, and she wasn't, like, outrageous or anything like that. I think a lot of people with some showmanship sometimes bring attention to themselves, but you know, Zena's not about that, and it's a shame that she didn't get the backing that she should have. Well, later on, you know, she has, at one point was the what we now call the Billie Jean King Cup captain for the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But in recent years, I have not heard all that much with what's going on with her.
Yeah, I know at the Olympics in Seoul, she got a bronze medal in singles, got a gold medal in doubles. So the things that she did, the accomplishments were many. It just was a different time. It truly was. You know, so.
I thought about my Zena thing here because I want to get one more crack on what's going on. Because we're not going to talk to Karen again, and I just want to throw that in there before we left. But
well,
your wrap
about
up with the men and the women we got
about to play. Madison Keys is about to play. Thoughts about what she's doing and the matchup she's got.
Oh, yes. Madison Keys is about to play Jasmine Paolini. Jasmine, yes, is 7 in the world and everything, but this is the first that Jasmine Paolini has actually won matches on a grass court. These are her first few match wins ever in her career on Wimbledon's courts.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
And Madison, grass suits her game very well. I mean, she hits hard and can be aggressive with her ground strokes. I definitely give the edge to Madison Keys because she's got way more experience with the winning on grass than Jasmine does. So even though on paper, Keys, it looks like it would be an upset to beat Paolini, it's really not, because she has way more experience playing on the grass than Jasmine does.
All right. Well, who's gonna be hoisting the plate on the men's side? Oh, wait, they don't get the plate, do they?
On the men's side? You know, everyone has looking at Sinner and whatnot. I just have a feeling that Carlos Alcaraz is going to defend
his
title.
There you go.
Wow. Okay.
That's what she's supposed to say.
Yeah. Look at that. You know, I'm just happy to see some American men playing after the first week, playing into the second week.
Oh, yeah, this is true. I mean, but, you know, American men usually play hard, you know, aggressive kinds of games and with their ground strokes, and usually are big serving, which is beneficial on the grass. So, you know, they should be doing decently on this surface.
All right, Karen. Listen, we will be talking. Now, she's supposed to be coming to town here. This event's coming up.
Hopefully, we'll get.
If she's here, we maybe bring her on the air with us. She can do a little thing live.
Well, I don't know if she's going to be in town in time to do that, but we're going to go and hang out.
All right, well, we're going to talk to
you. She'll be here, and Ben Shelton's going to be here, so it'll be fantastic.
Karen, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thank you as always, and look forward to talking to you soon.
You too. See you guys in a couple of weeks.
There you go. Tennis Panorama, joining Sam and Greg here. Going to venture into Noel's world. Up next, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. Coming up, 8 o'clock hour, all the way from Philly. Going to hear from Gil Tyree, talk about all those teams up there. One of them happened to be hanging out here in town. I got a fresh casting call for you. And On this day, a couple things happened that are worthy of repeating. In fact, some would argue the greatest invention of all time happened on this date. It was released on this day. And what do we say when we say something is great? That's the greatest thing since
sliced bread.
Well, have you ever heard of a dude named Otto Frederick Rohweder? R-O-H-W-E-D-D-E-R. Otto. We'll just call him Otto.
Okay.
He invented the bread slicing machine.
The bread slicing
machine. He got the patent for today.
Wow.
So there you go. And, well, he didn't get the patent. He got the patent for a little bit. Today was the day that the first loaf of sliced bread was sold.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man. Had to be, first day for everything, right? So that happened, and it was in Missouri. I'm from some little town I can't pronounce in Missouri. Today was the day that the alleged slash disputed Roswell UFO was sighted.
Really?
Yeah.
And we're not talking about at the top of the perimeter, Roswell.
No. We're talking about
we're not talking about that Roswell.
We're talking about the thing that happened after World War II when stuff was still flying through the air and folks thought they saw a UFO. And, literally landed and stopped at the Chevron station and did some stuff and hung out and went by. What was that? Stuckey's? Anyway, that happened on this day. Today was also the day that Satchel Paige was signed by Cleveland. And it was his 42nd birthday.
Mm-hmm. They thought.
Yeah, I guess so.
They never were truly sure how old Satchel Paige was.
That is, you know what? That's very true. Yeah. That's very true. But, Satchel signed
all
today.
I know he was great.
Yeah, he was. I mean, getting there at 42 and still made it to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And today was the day that when James R. Hoffa was elected chairman of the Teamsters. And let's move on, because the one thing I don't mess with is Teamsters. I got nothing but love for Teamsters. Worked with them, worked for them. Let's move on, Sam.
Okay.
Got nothing but respect for them. And here in town locally, or here in the state, they seem to have settled their dispute with the film industry. Drivers, all the folks under the Teamsters umbrella, don't mess with them. I try to have as many Teamster friends as I can get. So just keep that in mind. This is nice.
Yeah,
it's Noel.
Yeah, it's Noel. Yeah,
okay.
Man.
Sorry, Noel. You need to jump in and just shut me up. Just shut me up. She'd like some Teamsters too, I believe.
Yeah, I'm pro union, so I was just going to let you all.
There you go. All right. Go ahead.
All right. So we are switching in the NBA with free agency. People are everywhere. It's just switch. I woke up and people were in new places. That was a 6-team trade, y'all.
Saw that.
Teams.
Yeah.
The Mavs get Klay Thompson and a 2025 second-round pick. The T-Wolves get a 2025 second-round pick, a 2031 second-round pick, and some cash. The Warriors get Kyle Anderson and Buddy Hield. That's a win for them. The Nuggets get some cash. The Hornets get Josh Green, Reggie Jackson, a second-round pick in 2029 and in 2030. And the 76ers get a second-round pick in 2031. That was a lot.
Yeah. None of those other than, where'd you start with?
Klay Thompson with the Mavs.
We knew that was happening. We knew about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we knew that was happening. So
all that other stuff is conversation, though.
I kind of like what the Warriors get back, considering how strong their bench usually is. Kyle Anderson and Buddy Hield are some good pieces. I don't know how the Hornets make this trade and don't get those two pieces, but hey.
Question.
I'm glad they didn't.
But the Warriors go for a chip. They should do everything they can, knowing what you have out east, knowing that you out west, and also knowing that there's a shelf life to the main superstar on the team. He got a year left on his after this next season, and then also Steve Kerr. So they just kind of meander their way through the next couple of years. Draymond's also stuck there, but, you know, they're not going to get rid of his contract, and I doubt anybody's going to take it. So my question is, do they just sort of, you know, be Golden State out there in the West and kind of look forward to being able to retool after Steph and the coach is gone?
I think they're trying to, like, best of both worlds it as much as possible. Try to get the most out of Steph as you can, but also knowing that that is coming to an end and you have to look towards your future. I kind of feel like that's where Golden State is. Okay. And getting rid of Klay is like the first domino for that.
Well, he didn't sign. He didn't get rid of him so much as, you know.
Okay, well, moving on. We'll
moving
put it that
on
way.
From
moving
him.
Moving on.
Which is what's going to happen with Steph, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he ain't going to.
It's just going to happen. It's just natural. Either they're going to move on from you or you're going to move on from them.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just curious what these next couple of years are going to look like. It's almost like a lame duck presidency. You're there.
I mean, yeah, because you're going to have.
You can't really do nothing, but, you know, you guys still getting paid. And so, you know, going out there and we remember what you were.
And to me, that's how these situations always end. Like, if you draft well, your reward for that outside of championships and a bunch of jersey sales is an expensive, messy ending.
Has it really been messy, though? I mean, consider, this is not the Bulls. We use that as the gold standard. As a
I mean, no,
ending.
It's not Bulls
people
level.
People are disappointed Clay didn't stay, and you're hearing now about conversations that took place or didn't take place between him and the organization. He wasn't, I don't see what happened with him messy. I don't know. Does that,
I mean, it is to a degree, but it's not the capital of mess. Like D-Wade, like how D-Wade left the Heat. It was a little
there
messy.
There you go. That was more messy. Shaq leaving the Lakers.
Shaq leaving Orlando.
Yeah.
Jerry West was waiting for him at a hotel down there.
I mean, he was. I mean, that was Orlando's bag to fumble, and they did.
Exactly. And they thought they still had a game. He's
not working
Nick Anderson
was
there,
money,
Penny
money.
Was,
y'all crazy.
But that Shaq leaving L.A. was a deal. And then he said what he said about Kobe on the way out.
I mean, that went the way that it went. I mean, that went the way that it went. We all know how that went.
That's why I don't think that what's going on with Golden State is equal.
I mean, it's not to that level because it's not as noisy, right? Like, even the things that's coming out about Clay is that a lot of the drama and the passive aggressiveness he caused was just that, like passive aggressive tension in the locker room and in conversations. Like, that's the stuff that's coming out now. And so with that being the case, like, you're not going to hear a whole lot. It really sounds like what you've heard from Clay the past 5 years in the media. Like, he'll drop little passive-aggressive nuggets on things, but he's not going to come out and say, I have this problem with this, that, and the other. And it sounds like that's how he's leaving Golden State.
Yeah.
So it's not media messy, no, but you can kind of see what was going on in Golden State.
Information
in the Bay.
And again, it ain't, like I said, that knucklehead stuff that happened out there with Brooklyn and Durant and Kyrie and Harden and all that silliness.
I mean, the big three philosophy to me is a big gamble. Like, we going to Vegas and we shaking dice and we throwing it on the crap table. I feel the same way about the tanking draft theory.
Oh, okay.
We're rolling dice and has it worked out for Philly yet? And that was the number one proponent of the tanking draft.
But didn't we talk about this too? There's superstars and then there's the right kind of superstars.
I agree.
For those things. You got to have that right dude who understands his role, albeit still being a superstar.
I agree 100%. It's all about, to me, every sport is all about fit. But basketball probably more so than other because you have one to three main pieces that everybody else has to fit around. Those one to three main pieces are not gonna win you a championship.
I think the type of superstar that has been missing with these big three, the ones that haven't worked, and he's older now, but what you wanted and what you needed amongst those three was a younger Chris Paul. Because he knew his role as the point. If he was strictly the point guard and did what he did, but then still had all the other game, you know, the skill set, but he knew when to use it.
Well, and that's why people feel like the Clippers also fumbled a bag not being able to put a team around him and Blake Griffin.
Oh, back when?
When
he was still Chris Paul. Yeah, right.
Right, yeah. And now that Paul George has left, you fumbled another bag. You tried to put another big three or four together, and that's breaking up now.
How do you feel about Kyrie, though? I mean, about Kawhi. And getting the chip the way he did in Toronto, leaving San Antonio. What'd you say?
I knew he was going to leave the Raptors. The San Antonio thing was weird. It was weird the whole way with him and Pop and the injury and the not injury. And it was weird the whole way. The Raptors, I knew for a fact he was going to get the ring and run. Even that press conference after they won, it was very much, they have a lot they can build on because I'm out. But he just skipped the last part. And he was like, they have a lot to build on. You know, this is great for them. And it was very much them and they over there because I'm going to be over here type deal. Like Magic Johnson, I ain't going to be there. That was Kawhi.
And if you follow the Clippers, when he landed there, how you feeling about now when you look back at his time there and the superstar that you were supposed to get? Because we've seen superstars play through injuries. That's been the thing.
Yeah.
And it's also been the thing about this dude is he is healthy right up to the time he puts his name on that contract.
Yeah, and then
been
all
there
bets
a couple
are off.
Different times. Yes.
That's somebody that's figured out, you know, I don't have to be demonstrous or do any other things to get out of here. I'll just sit here while y'all pay me with this injury, and then we'll go from there.
Wow.
It's not fair to have that stance.
No, it's not.
You can't draw any other conclusion.
It's not fair, but we're only looking at the sample size of how long we've seen this go on, and we've seen this go on now with three different franchises, and this, that, and the third. Because Toronto was definitely a stopgap. It was like, this is where I can get to get out of San Antonio. So I'm going to make the most of this and then get to L.A., which is he got everything he wanted, but I don't think L.A. got their return.
Man, and it could have gone just the other way up in Toronto, too. If he don't hit that shot over Joel Embiid,
yeah,
that thing bounces 18
man.
Times and goes
yep,
in, and he wins. I mean, it's that's what makes sports great. It's the unknown. You cannot script stuff like that.
It make you sick. Like Julian Edelman catching the ball on his thighs, it make you sick. Joel Embiid still waking up at night in cold sweats thinking about that pop around the rim
picture.
Drop.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an excellent. It's iconic, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. It is.
That photo, the right shot and the ball up in the air and it almost dropping down and Joel Embiid looking with his mouth open, eyes as wide as possible.
You want to get that. That's one of those sports pick posters or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
You want them autographed.
Yeah, 100%.
And you know,
if you're not, you know, if you don't have beef with Kawhi. Because that's kind of where the NBA world is. It's like if you're not attached to Kawhi as like a member of your team, then he's great to watch. Kawhi's great. But, you know, if you're a Clippers fan or a Raptors fan, you know, you might be a little salty. The Raptors for leaving, the Clippers for, you know, not really achieving much while you're here. San Antonio, you probably got the most out of it. You probably got what you were going to get.
Other than hockey, how many Canadian championships are there in the sports that we play here? You got two in baseball.
Yeah.
You got one in
basketball.
You
can't have one in football.
Can't have one in football. So three?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. Yeah, because we don't count, you know, Canadian Football League, and they don't play it down here, right?
Yeah.
Although we take some of your players.
They did for a time. For a time, there was a team in Baltimore.
Really?
When the Colts first left, they had a Canadian football
team. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so Canada's got three championships.
Well, starting next season, they have a shot at a WNBA championship.
How about that?
Yeah, there you
in
go.
In theory, they have a shot. I can't wait to pick a name and a color scheme.
Yeah, really.
And a mascot.
All those things they got to do.
That'll be nice. Right now, it's just
you
Toronto.
For sure you figure for sure they're going to get a mascot.
Toronto's a blue. It's going to be some kind of blue.
If you're looking at what the Liberty have and how they're capitalizing on it, then I think if you jump in, you might want to jump in 10 toes down. But I could be wrong. But I feel like, you know, if you want to jump in, you know, jump in 10 toes in and, you know, do it.
Yeah.
Us lay Americans here, what would we name a Canadian team, a new Canadian team? Toronto. Excuse me. First of all, I got to say it right. Toronto.
Yeah.
Toronto.
So what would it be? I don't know enough about that. I know it's a beautiful city. I know it's one of the cleanest ones in North America,
you know,
period.
It could be something to do with it, something to do with the TV and film industry, like here.
No, it's not like Vancouver.
You know,
Vancouver's the one.
Toronto's got a lot of
stuff.
Yeah,
it's got some stuff going on.
Got a lot of stuff
going
on.
I just wonder what you name that team. But anyway, as you work out the color scheme and the name and all that, what else got on your mind?
And the mascot.
And the mascot. What they going to call himself?
We don't know yet.
Are we even at the...
They have no name, no color scheme, no definitive location in Toronto.
Yeah.
We have a plan and a dream, but I'm excited.
Speaking of dream, they're playing today, 1 o'clock.
Today at nice. 1 and, o'clock.
And boy, the news with Jordan Canada is...
Yeah,
is
man. They're talking about indefinitely for Jordan Canada and
broken finger.
Right finger injury. So we got three games. We saw... A nice bright spot of what they were waiting to get, and now we'll have to wait longer as she joins Ariel Power and Howard on the injury list. And Cheyenne Parker-Tyus is a question.
Whoa.
Yeah, I believe hamstring, I want to say. But Cheyenne Parker-Tyus is questionable coming off the bench.
Wow.
Which is crazy because I'm finally starting to see the vision of Cheyenne on the bench because you're really seeing what I think we're starting to see what Coach was seeing and putting Nia and Nas in more of a starting lineup and giving them more minutes. And I think Cheyenne is giving a more of a spark off the bench, especially with Ariel being out. So you were just starting to kind of see the vision for Cheyenne off the bench, and now you won't have Cheyenne either.
We hope she gets to play. We hope we get some at least more three-point shots. I mean, you know, Coach T was pleased with the way they went to the inside last game. Goodness, you got to at least take some. You only had six attempts, and you turned the ball over 28 times.
Yeah, the turnovers have been the story of the season. So I kind of need them to get like Paul Westhead and kind of put the ball up as soon as you can. Just run and get the ball up and get as many shots as possible.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9TheGame.com. It's Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. Coming up, 8 o'clock hour, all the way from Philly. Going to hear from Gil Tyree, talk about all those teams up there. One of them happened to be hanging out here in town. I got a fresh casting call for you. And a couple things happened on this day that are worthy of repeating. In fact, some would argue the greatest invention of all time happened on this date. It was released on this day. And what do we say when we say something is great? That's the greatest thing since?
Sliced bread.
Well, have you ever heard of a dude named Otto Frederick Rohweder? Rohweder? R-O-H-W-E-D-D-E-R. Otto. We'll just call him Otto.
Okay.
He invented the bread slicing machine.
The bread slicing
machine. He got the patent for today.
Wow.
So there you go. And, well, he didn't get the patent. He got the patent for a little bit. Today was the day that the first loaf of sliced bread was sold.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man. Had to be, first day for everything, right? So that happened, and it was in Missouri. I'm from some little town I can't pronounce in Missouri. Today was the day that the alleged / disputed Roswell UFO was sighted.
Really?
Yeah.
And we're not talking about at the top of the perimeter, Roswell.
No. We're talking about the real.
We're not talking about that Roswell.
We're talking about the thing that happened after World War II when stuff was still flying through the air and folks thought they saw a UFO. And, I mean, like literally landed and stopped at the Chevron station and did some stuff and hung out and went by. Stuckies? Anyway, that happened on this day. Today was also the day that Satchel Paige was signed by Cleveland. And it was his 42nd birthday.
Mm-hmm. They thought.
Yeah, I guess so.
They never were truly sure how old Satchel Paige was.
That is, you know what? That's very true. Yeah. That's very true. But, Satchel signed
all
today.
I know he was great.
Yeah, he was. I mean, getting there at 42 and still made it to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And today was the day that when James R. Hoffa was elected chairman of the Teamsters. And let's move on, because the one thing I don't mess with is Teamsters. I got nothing but love for Teamsters. Worked with them, worked for them. Let's move on, Sam.
Okay.
Got nothing but respect for them. And here in town locally, I mean, or here in the state, they seem to have settled their dispute with the film industry. Drivers, all the folks under the Teamsters umbrella, don't mess with them. I try to have as many Teamster friends as I can get. So just keep that in mind. Oh, this is nice.
Yeah,
it's Noel.
Yeah, it's Noel. Yeah,
okay.
Man,
sorry, Noel. You need to jump in and just shut me up. Just shut me up. She likes some Teamsters too, I believe.
Yeah, I'm pro-union, so I was just going to let you all.
There you go. All right. Go ahead.
All right. So we are switching in the NBA with free agency. People are everywhere. It's just switch. I woke up and people were in new places. There was a 6-team trade, y'all. Six.
Saw that.
Teams.
Yeah.
The Mavs get Klay Thompson and a 2025 second-round pick. The T-Wolves get a 2025 second-round pick, a 2031 second-round pick, and some cash. The Warriors get Kyle Anderson and Buddy Hield. That's a win for them. The Nuggets get some cash. The Hornets get Josh Green, Reggie Jackson, a second-round pick in 2029 and in 2030. And the 76ers get a second-round pick in 2031. That was a lot.
Yeah. None of those other than – where'd you start with?
Klay Thompson with the Mavs.
We knew that was we knew about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we knew that was happening. So
all that other stuff is conversation, though.
I kind of like what the Warriors get back, considering how strong their bench usually is. Kyle Anderson and Buddy Hield, are some good pieces. I don't know how the Hornets make this trade and don't get those two pieces, but hey.
Question.
I'm glad they didn't.
But the Warriors go for a chip. They should do everything they can, knowing what you have out east, knowing that you out west, and also knowing that there's a shelf life to the main superstar on the team. He got a year left on his after this next season, and then also Steve Kerr. So they just kind of meander their way through the next couple of years. Draymond's also stuck there, but you know they're not going to get rid of his contract, and I doubt anybody's going to take it. So my question is, do they just sort of be Golden State out there in the west and kind of look forward to being able to retool after Steph and the coach is gone?
I think they're trying to like best of both worlds it as much as possible. Try to get the most out of Steph as you can, but also knowing that is coming to an end and you have to look towards your future. I kind of feel like that's where Golden State is, and getting rid of Klay is like the first domino for that.
Well, he didn't sign. He didn't get rid of him so much as,
Okay, well, moving on. We'll
moving
put it that
on
way.
From
moving
him.
Moving on.
Which is what's going to happen with Steph, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he ain't
going to. It's just going to happen. It's just natural. Either they're going to move on from you or you're going to move on from them.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just curious what these next couple of years are going to look like. It's almost like a lame duck presidency. You're there.
I mean, yeah, because you're going to have.
You can't really do nothing, but, you guys are still getting paid. And so, go on out there and we remember what you were.
And to me, that's how these situations always end. Like, if you draft well, your reward for that outside of championships and a bunch of jersey sales is an expensive, messy ending.
Has it really been messy, though? I mean, consider this is not the Bulls. We use that as the gold standard.
Messy ending. It's not. It's not Bulls
people
level.
People are disappointed Klay didn't stay, and you're hearing now about conversations that took place or didn't take place between him and the organization. He wasn't. I don't see what happened with him messy. I don't know. Does that,
I mean, it is to a degree, but it's not the capital of mess. Like D-Wade, like how D-Wade left the Heat. It was a little messy.
There you go. That was more messy. Shaq leaving the Lakers.
Yeah. Was messy. Yeah. Shaq leaving Orlando.
Yeah.
Jerry West was waiting for him in a hotel down there.
I mean,
in Orlando.
He was. I mean, that was.
But that wasn't.
That was Orlando's bag to fumble, and they did.
Exactly. And they thought they still had a game.
He's
but, you
not
know,
working
Nick Anderson
of
was there.
Money. Y'all crazy.
But. That Shaq leaving L.A. was a deal. And then he said what he said about Kobe on the way out.
I mean, that went the way that it went. I mean, that went the way that it went. We all know how that went.
That's why I don't think that what's going on with Golden State is equal.
I mean, it's not to that level because it's not as noisy, right? Like, even the things that's coming out about Klay is that a lot of the drama and the passive aggressiveness he caused was just that, like passive aggressive tension in the locker room and in conversations. Like, that's the stuff that's coming out now. And so with that being the case, like, you're not going to hear a whole lot. It really sounds like what you've heard from Klay the past 5 years in the media. Like, he'll drop little passive aggressive nuggets on things, but he's not going to come out and say, I have this problem with this, that, and the other. And it sounds like that's how he's leaving Golden State.
Yeah.
So it's not media messy, no, but you can kind of see what was going on in Golden State.
Information
in the Bay.
And again, it ain't like I said, that knucklehead stuff that happened out there with Brooklyn. and Durant and Kyrie and Harden and all that silliness.
I mean, the big three philosophy to me is a big gamble. Like, we go into Vegas and we shaking dice and we throwing it on the crap table. I feel the same way about the tanking draft theory.
Oh, okay.
We're rolling dice and has it worked out for Philly yet? And that was the number one proponent of the tanking draft.
But didn't we talk about this too? There's superstars and then there's the right kind of superstars.
I agree.
For those things. You gotta have that right dude who understands his role, albeit still being a superstar.
I agree 100%. It's all about, to me, every sport is all about fit. But basketball probably more so than other, because you have one to three main pieces that everybody else has to fit around. Those one to three main pieces are not gonna win you a championship.
I think the type of superstar that has been missing with these big three, the ones that haven't worked, and he's older now, but what you wanted and what you needed amongst those three was a younger Chris Paul. Because he knew his role as the point guard. If he was strictly the point guard, mm-hmm. and did what he did, but then still had all the other game, you know, mm-hmm. the skill set, but he knew when to use it.
Well, and that's why people feel like the Clippers also fumbled a bag not being able to put a team around him and Blake Griffin.
Oh, back when? When he was still
right.
Chris Paul. Yeah, right.
Right, yeah. And now that Paul George has left, you fumbled another bag. You tried to put another big three or four together, and that's breaking up now.
How do you feel about Kyrie, though? I mean, about Kawhi. And getting the chip the way he did in Toronto, leaving Messi, but just leaving San Antonio. What'd you say?
I knew he was going to leave the Raptors. The San Antonio thing was weird. It was weird the whole way with mm-hmm. him and Pop and the injury and the not injury. And it was weird the whole way. The Raptors, I knew for a fact he was going to get the ring and run. Even at press conference after they won, it was very much, yeah, they have a lot they can build on because I'm out. But he just skipped the last part. And he was like, yeah, they have a lot to build on. You know, this is great for them. And it was very much them and they over there because I'm going to be over here type deal. Like Magic Johnson, I ain't gonna be there. That was Kawhi.
And if you follow the Clippers when he landed there, how you feeling about now when you look back at his time there and the superstar that he was supposed to get? Because we've seen superstars play through injuries. That's been the thing.
Yeah.
And it's also been the thing about this dude is he is healthy right up to the time he puts his name on that contract.
Yeah, and then
been
all
there
bets
a couple
are off.
Different times. Yes.
That's somebody that's figured out, you know, I don't have to be demonstrous or do any other things to get out of here. I'll just sit here while y'all pay me with this injury, and then we'll go from there.
Wow.
It's not fair to have that stance.
No, it's not.
We can't draw any other conclusion.
It's not fair, but we're only looking at the sample size of how long we've seen this go on, and we've seen this go on now with three different franchises, and mm-hmm. this, and the third. Because Toronto was definitely a stopgap. It was like, this is where I can get to get out of San Antonio. So I'm going to make the most of this,
yep.
and then get to L.A., which is he got everything he wanted. But I don't think L.A. got their return.
Man, and it could have gone just the other way up in Toronto, too. If he don't hit that shot over Joel Embiid,
yeah,
that thing bounces 18
man.
Times and goes
yep,
in, and he wins. I mean, it's that's what makes sports great. It's the unknown. You cannot script stuff like that.
It make you sick. Like Julian Edelman catching the ball with his thighs, it make you sick. Joel Embiid still waking up at night in cold sweats thinking about that. Pop, 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 pop around the rim,
picture.
Drop.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an excellent. It's iconic, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. It is.
That photo, the right shot and the ball up in the air and it almost dropping down and Joel Embiid looking with his mouth open, eyes as wide as possible.
You want to get that. That's one of those sports posters or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
You want them autographed.
Yeah, 100%.
And you know,
if you're not, you know, if you don't have beef with Kawhi, because that's kind of where the NBA world is. It's like if you're not attached to Kawhi as like a member of your team, then he's great to watch. Kawhi's great. But, you know, if you're a Clippers fan or a Raptors fan, you know, you might be a little salty. The Raptors for leaving.
Yeah.
The Clippers for, you know, not really achieving much while you're here. San Antonio, you probably got the most out of it. You probably got what you were going to get.
Other than hockey, how many Canadian championships are there in the sports that we play here? You got two in baseball.
Yeah.
You got one in basketball.
You can't have one in football.
Can't have one in football. So three?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. Yeah, because we don't count, you know, Canadian Football League, and they don't play it down here, right?
Yeah.
Although we take some of your players.
They did for a time. For a time, there was a team in Baltimore.
Really?
When the Colts first left, they had a Canadian football
team.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Okay, so Canada's got three championships.
Well, starting next season, they have a shot at a WNBA championship.
How about that?
Yeah, there you
in
go.
In theory, they have a shot. I can't wait to pick a name and a color scheme.
Yeah, really.
And a mascot.
That'll be all those things they got to do.
That'll be nice. Right now, it's just
Toronto. You figure for sure they're gonna get a mascot.
Toronto's a blue. It's gonna be some kind of blue.
If you're looking at what the Liberty have and how they're capitalizing on it, then I think if you jump in, you might want to jump in 10 toes down. But I could be wrong. But I feel like, you know, if you're gonna jump in, you know, jump in 10 toes in and, you know, do it.
Yeah.
Us lay Americans here, what would we name a Canadian team? A new Canadian team? In Toronto. Excuse me. First of all, I got to say it right. Toronto.
Yeah.
Toronto.
So what would it be? I don't know enough about that. I know it's a beautiful city. I know it's one of the cleanest ones in North America,
you know,
period.
It could be something to do with the TV and film industry, like here.
No, it's not like Vancouver. Vancouver's the one.
Toronto's got a lot of
stuff.
Yeah,
it's got some stuff going on.
Got a lot of stuff
going
on.
I just wonder what you name that team. But anyway, as you work out the color scheme and the name and all that, what else got on your mind?
And the mascot.
And the mascot. What they going to call himself?
We don't know yet.
Are we even got the...
They have no name, no color scheme, no definitive location in Toronto.
Yeah.
We have a plan and a dream, but I'm excited.
Speaking of dream, they're playing today, 1 o'clock.
Today at nice. 1 and, o'clock.
And, boy, the news with Jordan Canada is
yeah,
is
man.
Not good.
They talking about indefinitely for Jordan Canada and
Broken finger.
Right finger injury. So we got three games. We saw a nice bright spot of what they were waiting to get, and now we'll have to wait longer as she joins Ariel Power and Howard on the injury list.
Another
And Cheyenne Parkatias is a question.
Whoa.
Yeah, I believe hamstring, I want to say. But Cheyenne Parkatias is questionable coming off the bench.
Wow.
Which is crazy because I'm finally starting to see the vision of Cheyenne on the bench. Because you're really seeing what I think we're starting to see what Coach was seeing in putting Nia and Nas in more of a starting lineup and giving them more minutes. And I think Cheyenne is giving a more of a spark off the bench, especially with Ariel being out. So you were just starting to kind of see the vision for Cheyenne off the bench, and now you won't have Cheyenne either.
We hope she gets to play. We hope we get some, at least more 3-point shots. I mean, you know, Coach T was pleased with the way they went to the inside last game. Goodness, you got to at least take some. You only had 6 attempts, and you turned the ball over 28 times.
Yeah, the turnovers have been the story of the season. So I kind of need them to get like Paul Westhead and kind of put the ball up as soon as you can, just run and get the ball up and get as many shots as possible.
Your defense be damned, right? If you're going to do a Paul Westhead one.
They got to play defense, but 28 turnovers.
Yeah. And a lot of the turnovers are self-inflicted. They're not really super defensive. So they got to clean up some of that. And I feel like Alicia missed a couple shots, close shots early, and she kind of went away from taking as many threes probably usually would. So playing a Connecticut sun, you might have to let him fly today, Big Leash.
Yeah,
and as far as the next game that we have for you, Dream versus Vegas, that tip-off is Friday at 7:30. So if you can't get in front of a TV, we will have that game for you right here.
Whatever happened to that $100,000?
That's a good question. Did we ever get any definitive question about
whatever happened to
the WNBA's investigation? I mean, because we know what Vegas has. They waiting on the WNBA to figure out what they're going to do.
It ain't going to be made public. We'll put it that way, because the IRS is always listening.
Well, I mean, you know.
They ain't going to make it public.
Though.
They just won't. Would you want to know? Would you want people to know that somebody slipped you $100,000?
They weren't slipping it to them. They were saying because you play here and you're going to give something that people come to town to see in addition to other stuff here in Vegas. People will come to town to see this team. That's this championship.
I didn't say illegally. I said just slip you $100,000.
Just slip you $100,000.
IRS is going to give you. They're going to be looking at you.
Just slip you $100,000.
Yeah. $100,000.
What Greg's saying is don't go on MTV Cribs if you know you behind on your taxes. That's what Greg's saying.
Thank you. If you got to wait for me to say that, then you deserve to get caught. You don't need to wait for me to say that. We are not done talking about Noelle's bucket list location. We asked this earlier in the show. We'll get back to it, though. But she let it be known that one of the places she'd like to go to is a Vikings game. Not because of the Vikings. She just wants to go up to Minnesota, have a day in Minneapolis, go to the Twin City. She ain't saying nothing about St. Paul. Got some stuff in St. Paul, so she might want to go up there.
Nice neighborhood stuff in St. Paul. You know, the Twin Cities.
You can go and walk across the Mississippi River.
That's true. You can spit in it.
That is true.
Well, up there.
You can walk across.
Wash your hands in it.
There you go.
Well, look at that.
All of that up there,
get me all excited.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what?
Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.